after the first hour of the week here. It's already a Monday, the 18th day of January. Welcome, welcome. This is The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy and live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Man, I'm going 500 all through these playoffs, Colfax. I did pick the Chiefs to win, but I picked them to cover. I still think they do that if Patrick Mahomes is in that game, but well, whatever. I called the Bucs to get the win. Listen, I said it. Tom Brady doesn't need to be crazy. He doesn't need to throw for 350 in this game. He just needs to not throw interceptions. He just needs to be careful with the football. And he was. You know, there was a close call there, almost interception late in the game, but ended up calling that off. And the Bucs win 30-20. Drew Brees, that's probably it for Drew. I don't know. I didn't think Drew Brees really looked right, basically, since the injury. And just didn't have it going here. I mean, he threw one touchdown. The other touchdown was Jameis Winston on that kind of reverse pitch back thing to Jameis Winston. Beautiful throw there. But Tampa Bay gets away with the W, 30-20. They're moving on. That defense is good. Leonard Fournette, kind of a revival of his career. Fresh for the most part. He had 63 yards rushing and 44 yards receiving plus the touchdown. So big day there. Big day for this defense. And I'm excited to see Tampa Bay and Green Bay next week when we get to the NFC Championship. And then on the, I guess the Packers-Rams game, that was my least favorite game. And the score kind of showcased that, 32-18. Green Bay was, it really did feel like they were in control this one. And I don't even know that Aaron Rodgers let it loose all the way, man. But that Rams team, that's a good defense. And but Aaron Rodgers stayed relatively clean. I mean, no sacks, had a rating of 108, and you know they were able to run the ball well with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. So, you know, Green Bay gets away with a pretty good one there. Ravens, oh, this was a tough one. Ravens Bills, talk about a game changer in like two possessions. So, the Ravens are down 10-3. They're making a hell of a drive in the third quarter, and of course Lamar Jackson throws his only pick of the day, and it's a pick six, and it was an absolute killer. Taron Johnson gets the pick, takes it all the way back. Man, has some great blocking on that run back. So then it turns to there you go. It's 17-3. The very next possession, Lamar, you know, they're backed up and they're in a bad spot, and he gets called for the intentional grounding, and he goes down with a concussion, and that's it for Lamar. The rookie comes in, Tyler Huntley, and he wasn't bad, but again, he's not Lamar Jackson. This is a rough way to end there. Thought it was going to be something similar with the Kansas City game. Patrick Mahomes has such a bizarre-looking concussion. You know, Lamar's was an obvious. He falls. You see that head, like, snap on the ground. But Mahomes, it's kind of funky-looking. I don't know if it's something to do with the neck back there, how that worked. But he was out of it and held out for the rest of the game. And we all know about the heroics. Talk about heroics, man. Chad Henne, he threw 6 of 8, 66 yards. He did throw the pick. He throws one deep. That could have cost them. But I think you should be talking today about this Kansas City defense. They come up with a big stop after the backup quarterback throws a pick. If they drive down and score, you know, they get the lead with no Patrick Mahomes on the comeback trail. So, however, Cleveland just kind of, I don't know, and kind of a boring-looking possession there. They didn't have a lot of imagination there, and they go three and out, punt the ball. You can argue whether they should have gone for it or not, but Baker Mayfield never got the ball again late in that situation, and the Chiefs find a way, and Andy Reid goes for it on fourth and one at midfield. Hard to blame him, you know, because if you punt it back, then yeah, you know, Baker, the legend of Baker Mayfield, the Cleveland Browns, who knows, man, maybe. But instead they go for it, and he trusts his backup quarterback to do it. Nuts. But there you go, man. I mean, Chiefs found a way to get it done, 22-17. They're going to their third AFC championship in a row now. And they'll be going up against the Buffalo Bills. How about this one for a poll question? Now, I bring this up because Baltimore had some issues snapping the ball. Couldn't hear. Center couldn't hear. 6,700 people were in the stands, Colfax. Just 6,700. And I guess they're piping in stuff. I don't know. But they basically, it was the crowd. You could hear the real crowd. 6,700. Is Bills Mafia. I mean, they have the nickname Bills Mafia. I got to ask you, who's the better? Who has the better fan base? Broncos, Bills, Chiefs? I just threw like the top five or six. And this is my opinion. These, from what I have seen and heard and read about, these are the best fan bases that I would go, that I would put up there. Broncos, got to throw the Broncos in there. Bills Mafia, Chiefs fans, Packers fans, you know, the Cheeseheads there, Steelers, the 12th man and the Seahawks or other. Go vote at theholeshow.com. That is our Power to Play sports poll question. Look at that, Colfax. 43% of the Hooligans say the Bills. And you guys are Broncos fans. Most of, a lot of you are. Only 6% say Broncos fans. It goes Bills, Packers, Steelers, Chiefs, Seahawks, then Broncos. Nobody's saying other. I appreciate that. I threw other in there because you're always going to get that one Hogan.
What about the Cowboys? Or the Chargers have a pretty good strong fan base, even though nobody goes to their games.
No, no. These are my top six, and that's the way we're doing it here. So go vote. I'd love to see where we end on this thing. My first poll question was kind of a mixed bag, but started to pull away before the show started, so I switched it up. We do that sometimes. First poll question today was, how concerned are you about the Nuggets? 6-7 start the season. How concerned? I actually want a description. Are you, okay, they're going to get booted in the first round concerned? Or are you, they're not really a championship contender anymore concerned? Or is it, they might not make the playoffs? I mean, it's, you're 6-7. You're far along in this season. Now, you get Harris back, and that was a nice boost. Michael Porter Jr. now, I'm being told, probably closer to Friday now. We thought maybe Sunday. They do play tomorrow night against the Thunder. Looking like Friday when they get on the road and that Phoenix Suns series starts, or Phoenix Suns game starts. They need him. They need a scorer. You know, you look at Jamal Murray in this game. He was on fire to start. And I don't know what's going on with that elbow, if that's a real big deal here at this stage. But either way, you're still getting to this point where, I mean, listen, the Nuggets kind of had control for a while, but that's how basketball can be sometimes. You just get to this point where nothing's going right for you. It wasn't an absolute awful game. I mean, defensively, they have some issues. But Jamal Murray had 24 points in the first half, Colfax. He had six in the second. So you want it to be the reverse. If you can't be a consistent player throughout the game, which is ideal for a superstar, you do want to have your stars really click late. Now, this isn't really on him. He ended up with 30 points. So it's, you know, I'm not going to beat him up for that one. And I am starting to wonder if there's something going on with this elbow after listening to him talk a bit and, you know, some of the insiders on the Nuggets side of things. So I'm a little concerned about that. Nikola Jokic, though, 35 points, 14 rebounds, and darn it, he didn't get the triple-double, 9 assists. He's had a double-double in every game. 35 points and 14 rebounds. Think about that for a second. Those are, I mean, we're seeing the MVP right now, folks. It's the rest of this team's job to get them into the playoffs because this is what the Joker's bringing. 40 minutes last night. And, you know, he plus 6 when he's on the floor. And again, this Jamal played a good game. You know, it's just he wasn't as productive as you'd like to see late. He did get a key three-pointer late that kept the Nuggets alive to have a shot. But, you know, Jazz converted down the stretch with a couple of free. They were missing free throws like crazy late, but they converted when they needed to. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me, I expected CSU to win over the weekend against San Jose State. I think I expected UNC to beat Idaho, but the way the season has gone thus far, I wondered. But the Rams did get the sweep, and they ended up walking away with both of those games with close to 20-point wins. So very encouraging if you're a UNC Bears fan to see the Bears do what they had to do to stay alive in this conference. I believe Eastern Washington is coming up next. They have a lot of work to do, but that was a must. I said I wanted to see that team go 3-1 in their last four. Now 2-2. We'll take it. Got to find a way to beat Eastern Washington. Not as strong as they've been in the past. So that's going to be a big one coming up for the Bears. The bad for me, we just talked about it, was the Nuggets lost to Utah. Listen, there's a rivalry there. And any other day, if the Nuggets lose to Utah, that sucks. But that was your seventh loss. You're 6-7. We're getting deep enough into this now where we're going, are you going to be a 500 team? Is this what you are? Because then you're probably going to be a play-in type team. And how much do we trust the Nuggets being a play-in team at this stage? You need to get MPJ back. We need to give it our full shot here. And away we go. The ugly for me is I hate seeing injuries. But there's no doubt when really, really important players go down, it's even more frustrating. Seeing Lamar go down, knowing, okay, there's still a chance in that game. Even if they punt the ball away there, which they did, there's still a shot in that game. And it's not like Huntley was bad. It's just you want to see the best when you're at this stage. And Lamar going down in that third quarter and Patrick Mahomes going down when he did, even though the Chiefs going to win it, that's ugly to me. And I hope Patrick Mahomes, I don't care if you hate the Chiefs, love the Chiefs, I want the best football on the field. Always. And Patrick Mahomes gives you the best football on the field. I want to see Mahomes and Allen. I want to see Rodgers and Brady. Look at that. Like the two Hall of Famers, the guys that have led the brigade in the NFL for the longest time, and two guys that are taking that torch, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. All right, we're going to register someone today. I'm doing two entries today. We got our NoCo Mobile Gaming Madden Tournament on February 6th. It's going to be a Saturday afternoon around 3. We've got 20 contestants here, and you're all competing for a PlayStation 5, courtesy of Greeley Bears Pop Warner. We're going to be setting up NoCo Mobile Gaming Studio. I think we get 10 at a time that can play. So it's going to be so fun. You know, we'll get like 6 people on the inside of the NoCo Mobile Gaming, and then like we'll get 4 on the outside. And assuming if it's freezing cold, we're not going to make you go outside, because then that would be a nice built-in excuse for you, right? But it's going to be a good time. So at some point throughout the day, just make sure you keep it here. We are going to register 2 people. I'm going to make it easy today. But we're trying to load that up and get that ready, and then we'll create the brackets, and away we go. But you got a free chance. No subscriptions to anything, no money or anything like that. You guys have been to our stuff in the past. It's low-key. We don't need emails to email you deals or whatever. We just need to be able to contact you to tell you if something happens as far as weather changes or whatever. But we'll be registering someone for that. NoCo Mobile Gaming, you guys got to check them out. Search them. Google them. Have birthday parties, get-togethers. It's not just for the kiddos, man. I mean, you get the Super Bowl party loaded up, that would be a fun time. Keep thinking of that. Like right before the Super Bowl, you get a little Madden tournament action going on. Could be a great time. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. Again, the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who has the best fan base? After the Bills, I mean, you have to actually add the Bills to this win. You have to say Bills fan base helped the Bills win yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what it's supposed to be. But 6,700 strong. Plus, they probably have the coolest name in all of sports as far as a fan base goes, the Bills Mafia. So who has a better fan base? It looks like Bills are running away with this thing. Packers next, Steelers, Chiefs. You're not going to let Chiefs beat out the Broncos, Hooligans, right? Bills, I'm going to go with you there. I agree with you there. It's a team that's out in the freezing cold no matter how bad their team is. But I don't think we can stand for the Broncos losing to the Chiefs in this one. So let's go vote at thewholeshow.com. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and we will be right back.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. That's 478-1301. Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They are a great sponsor of this program. And again, it's always a tough conversation to have, but one we all have to have. Service is as unique as life. They want you to live well, live your best life, but plan ahead. Make it a little bit easier when you leave your loved ones behind. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Mosier Funeral Cremation Services. Their website is Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com. Again, First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Who has the best fan base in football? And I'm going with these six teams. You know, we're looking at the Seahawks. We're looking at the Steelers. We're looking at the Chiefs, Broncos, Packers, Bills. I'm voting Bills. I mean, Bills Mafia. Like, Broncos country? It's okay. I feel like the Broncos need something that separates them again, though, right? You remember the South Stands and the old stadium? That was where, I mean, we had season tickets there one year. Some guy decided he didn't want to go, and he had four of them that year for some reason. That was the first year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Or maybe it was the second year. It was one of those years. I kept all my ticket stubs, have them still. And I just remember that. South Stands, just something about it. The rowdy group, you know? And it was memorable. So I think about that, like with the Bills Mafia, you know, just diehard fan base. They're always doing crazy stuff out in the freezing cold. So, no, I'm going Bills there. But I got to think that we're going to get over the Bills, or the Broncos got to get over the Chiefs. I'd like to see that. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I mean, are you guys jumping on the bandwagon for the Chiefs or what? Yeah, so go vote again at thewholeshow.com. Well, Jamal Murray, he ended up with 30 points. Again, 24 points in that first half. He looked untouchable. And then 4 points or 6 points the rest of the way in the second half. I'm not saying he had a bad game. However, I'm starting to wonder if this elbow thing is an issue. Jamal was asked about the elbow. Here's his response.
It's not like it's as big as an ankle sprain or as big as, you know, something like that. But it's just the placement is right on my shooting elbow. In every game, I seem to fall on it or get hit or get bumped or just tweak it the wrong way. And it's just a bruise that keeps reoccurring. It's a bruise in the spot where every time I fully extend, I feel it. So sometimes I extend and it hurts and it's short, or I overextend trying to get through it and it's long. It's just one of those things where I'm trying to just block it out and not re-aggravate it. So it's tough, but it didn't affect me too much tonight. I did bump it, but I'll be all right.
I saw a couple of guys that I trust as far as, you know, Nuggets media. And when I say this, you can't just trust guys that say they cover the team. Colfax, anybody can cover this team now. I mean, you could find ways to get credentials and get access to Zoom and all that stuff. That you can find ways to do it if you have somewhat of an outlet. There's how many blog sites available. So just be careful. But there's a lot of these guys that I follow that are like, this was 2 games ago. And most of them saying the same thing. Something seems off with Jamal Murray, even outside of the inconsistencies. I don't know that his inconsistencies are solved if he's healthy, but watch him play. There does seem time where he just looks uncomfortable. He's always messing with that elbow. I don't think it's an excuse, anything like that. But he's talking about it. And sometimes in sports, you get those injuries, and it's almost worse to have injuries like that because you can't really do anything about them. Like, just time. A lot of the big injuries, you can get surgeries, whatever. And yes, it's going to keep you out a significant amount of time. But the injury like Jamal has, there's no surgery in store. It's just you got arrested at some point. And honestly, at 6-7, do you see any of the Nuggets going on a load management situation here? They need to, inconsistent or consistent or consistently good, they need Murray on the floor. So I don't know. That's something to kind of keep an eye on for the Nuggets. The rest of it, it was an interesting game. I mean, you have Malone has high expectations for all of these guys and what you need on the floor. Last night was kind of a game where, yeah, Murray got his, but it really felt like Joker was alone. I mean, 35 points with 14 boards and 9 assists. And again, Murray had 30 and he was plus 6 on the floor. So you don't, like, those are, you never, I don't care where you get them. They're still, it's still respectable. And I know I've been hard on Murray. But where was the bench? You know, you had Morris with 7, PJ Dozier. I gave him a hard time last week, and since then he's put together some nice games. He had 9 points, 4 boards. He's becoming more of a guy, but you still need another player or two. If you're going to have 2 30-point guys, okay, that's great. You still need that 15-point guy. You still need the bench to collectively score more, especially when your start, a couple of starters are going to be 4, 2, and 8. Paul Millsap had 4, Barton had 2, and Harris had 8. Here's Mike Malone after that game talking about what he needs from everybody, kind of just talking about all of it, the defense and, you know, what to expect going forward.
You know, obviously Nikola and Jamal were terrific. Jamal, especially in that first half, Joker throughout. You know, but yeah, their scoring was a lot more well-balanced. And we had some guys that had some tough nights, you know, shooting the ball. Couple of the craziest numbers, man. In the paint, we only shot 42%. We were 20 of 47, so our finishing numbers were really bad. And the other number that jumps out, we rebounded them by 16. 23 offensive rebounds. Only converted those into 14 points. We were 6 of 22 in second chance opportunities, I think, which is 27%. So we had chances. We had looks, but we definitely weren't able to convert. And, you know, they're a good team. First quarter, they hit 7 threes. After that, they hit 4 in the second quarter. Then they hit 4 more in the entire second half. So did a much better job throughout the game of defending the 3. But when we defend, we're a good team. And we did a poor job of defending tonight.
That kind of seems to be the stick all year. Poor job of defending. And who's going to be that other guy? Michael Porter Jr. needs to get there fast, and I know he has COVID, and it's very confusing, but it's just like we're going on like 4 weeks here. I mean, how long is he out? What's going on? I still don't know, but I think Friday is going to be there. And again, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying 30 points. I mean, Jamal's 30 points. That's what I need from him. But he did this against Utah kind of where he'd go off in that first half, and he kind of disappeared for a while. Could have used him late. He did have the key three-pointer late that got, I think it got it within 2. Utah goes down and sinks free throws, though, and he makes that pretty much, you could throw it up and see what happens. Jamichael Green, we talked a lot about him last week. He had 5 points and only 6 boards. Something to think about there. Like, I love him. He's becoming such a fixture on this team, and Joker loves him. Now you're getting to that point where you're expecting more of him, especially in big games like this. But nonetheless, the Nuggets walk away with a 3-5 home record and 6-7 on the season. At some point, they're going to have to put a stretch together here where they're winning like 5 out of 6 games. You know, they need to put on one of those stretches. You know, this last one, they won 4 out of 5, but then they lose to Brooklyn. They beat Golden State, but then they lose to Utah. Now coming up, you got OKC. You have 2 games against Phoenix. You got 2 games on the road against the Thunder. Now, the Thunder are 6-6. Phoenix is a good team. One of the best in basketball right now. So, you got to take care of the Thunder tomorrow night. You hope to split against Phoenix. You're at Dallas, and again, road, home, the travel's really the only issue. You're at Dallas, you're at Miami, you're at San Antonio. A 5-game road trip coming up, all against teams that are pretty darn good for the most part. So this is when, you know, we always say this like with the Rockies, this stretch will kind of define your season. I don't know if I want to go that far yet, but you're getting close to that because the Suns are 7-4. Dallas is 6-6, but we know that that's a hell of a matchup for Denver. And then you look at the San Antonio Spurs, and they're 7-6 too. I mean, again, that's still the saving grace for the Nuggets, is everybody's kind of in the same boat. The Lakers are now 11-3, Clippers are 10-4. They're pulling away a bit, but you got a lot of teams that are, you know, Jazz winning that game put them up to third place in the West. And I'm not in the watch yet, but I'm just, you want to keep pace. If you want to get, I still think the 2 seed's a possibility, but when do you start putting together a big stretch of wins here? And it's going to be hard-pressed to ask the Nuggets to do that when you got OKC, Phoenix, Phoenix, Dallas, and then, as we said, Miami. It's going to be a tough one. So we'll see, man. I mean, it's not necessarily a defining moment just yet, but if you lose more of these next few games than you win, you're going to be in a tough, tough spot where you're playing catch-up for quite some time just to try to get in that top five spot or something along those lines. So 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Zach Stevens. We'll get Deshaun Watson. Is that a possibility? Really? Broncos are coming up. That name's coming up. We'll see. The latest on Von Miller and so much more. We'll talk to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Cephal Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks, as always, for being with us. And thanks to our wonderful insiders providing us the insight we just couldn't get anywhere else. Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos joins us on our First Advantage Hotline. Zach, my friend, I keep thinking things are going to slow down and there's not going to be as much for us to talk about, at least until we really ramp up into the offseason. But unfortunately, Broncos are at the forefront. Maybe some good news there. Deshaun Watson rumors. Okay, that's fun. But the situation last week about Von Miller certainly has Broncos country talking.
Yes, absolutely. Some good, some bad, some still unanswered questions about what this Broncos staff is going to look like. And Brady, I think that every single year I think, okay, this is the offseason that's going to be quiet, and that rarely happens here in Broncos country.
No doubt about it, my friend. There's certainly a lot to unpack, and I know there's a lot for George Payton. There's a lot of Von Miller drama or not. There's already a lot for him to come in and take care of. Can you talk to us about the situation with Von? The whole thing seems very strange, even dating back to several weeks ago. Where are we at right now with the Von Miller investigation?
Yeah, so here's where we stand officially with the Von Miller investigation. Is according to the Parker police, he is being investigated for a crime. And if they find that a crime was committed, they will then send that to the DA and will officially find out what it is for. Fox News right now reported that it is for domestic violence. But the Parker Police Department wouldn't comment on that when I talked to them. What they did tell me was it began recently. The investigation began recently, so that could have people drawing the connections to what his ex-girlfriend posted on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. But then she also came out on Friday after all of this came out on Instagram and said that Von has never laid his hands on her. So right now we're just in a waiting game, and this could be a couple of days until we find out what happened with that investigation. It could be more weeks. So right now we're really in limbo with the official status of this.
Zach, so the situation, what, 2-3 weeks ago, looking on social media for the most part, Von Miller's ex-girlfriend, as you talked about, put some stuff up there of these texts back and forth. Can you open that up for us? I haven't hit it a lot just yet because it seemed, I guess it didn't seem like any of the major news sources were hitting it just yet. So, you know, I always try to be careful there. But what was going on there with some of the screenshots that were put out on social media between the two?
Yeah, and I think what is important is, you know, we don't know if these were from Von, but it seemed to be coming, I believe, from an email account from, an email that certainly resembled what a Von Miller email could be. So she put those out there, and essentially, I believe one of the things that one of the text messages said was he was not happy that they were having a kid together potentially. And I think his exact words, at least in the text messages words, were that he was praying for a miscarriage. And so, of course, that took a lot of people. There's not necessarily anything illegal with that, but a lot of people thought, well, if these text messages are true, of course, that's a pretty bad look there. And then she responded to those Instagrams on Friday of what she had put up, and she said someone must have taken my my Instagrams a couple of weeks ago a little too far in thinking that, you know, that there was some abuse there, but Von has never touched me. So we're right now kind of in, okay, well, what's true, what's not true? Let's unpack this and see where we're at.
Zach, is this one, I mean, again, we don't know. Like you said, there's still so many things to learn. Dare I say it, though, is this one of those times where maybe where there's smoke, there's fire? I hate to jump to those conclusions, but oftentimes when you get enough of this stuff kind of mixing together in the recent weeks, there's at least some truth to it. And again, everything we've learned about Vaughn, it's a shock to all of us what's taken place the last 2 weeks. Whether or not it's true, we don't know. But that's my fear, is sometimes that old adage of where there's smoke, there's fire. I certainly hope not.
Yeah, I certainly hope not either, not just because he's Vaughn, but just because this is, you know, a bad situation if any of it were true. But, Brady, where it puts me right now is because I don't want to rush to judgment, but I also don't want to ignore everything that's going on. But the truth is, 2 days after George Payton takes over the Denver Broncos and has final say, this comes out. And this isn't the only thing why the Broncos would potentially move on from Vaughn. He has a $22 million cap hit next year, which is the biggest on the team. They save $18 million if they move on from him. He's in his 30s. He just missed the full season due to injury. The year before that, he only had 8 sacks. So this is just another thing that you put in there. And obviously, let's say this does go further and he is found that he did this wrong, then of course that probably is the top of all of these things on why you're probably moving on from him. But this isn't just the only reason why people are starting to think, okay, has Vaughn played his last down? This is just one of many in there. And so that's something that you can't ignore when you talk about Vaughn, just how many other things are stacking up against him. For maybe he's back next year, but like I've told you many times and stand by, it's not going to be at that $22 million cap hit.
Yeah, and I mean, you take all that into consideration, you know, because we're already asking the question, will he negotiate his contract? Will he negotiate it to the point where it actually means something for the Broncos? So that's already out there. Plus, you just mentioned it, the injuries, the age, the productivity, all that's already there. This could be one of those situations, too, where we might not We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they turn out and say, hey, you know, the case is over, we're done. But sometimes even the fact that he was investigated might just be a negative cherry on the top, so to speak, where the Broncos go, you know what, it just doesn't make sense. You have all these other things going, and now there's investigations, whether they find anything or not. Maybe it's just time.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I don't think we can overlook the fact that this is a new general manager who has no ties to Von Miller. And a lot of people say this is the not for long league. What have you done for me lately? Well, just looking at it, Von Miller hasn't done a lot for the Broncos in the past 2 years. And I do believe he had a better season in 2019 than the sacks would account for. But it's not like he had 15 sacks or anything like that that's jumping off the table. John Elway has had the most respect for Von Miller. He drafted him number 2 overall. He made him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL's history. That's no longer here anymore for Von's side. Just like John Elway isn't there to be pounding the table and making the final decision on Drew Lock, Von Miller does not have that at his disposal either right now. So a fresh set of eyes could make it easier for this team to move on from him, or at least be willing to play more hardball in the negotiations.
Yeah, it's sure seeming like the writing is on the wall, perhaps, on the Von Miller situation for sure. All right, so this is the other big one. Deshaun Watson. When I first heard this, Zach, I'm thinking, okay, that's a nice dream, not happening. I can't see Houston not doing everything in their power to make nice and figure it out, but it sure sounds like they're all ready to just kind of separate here. I keep seeing the Broncos in that discussion, and I know Broncos fans around here are talking about it, but realistically, I'm wondering, is that something that could happen? How likely, Zach, at this stage, is it that Deshaun Watson is in a Broncos uniform next year?
Well, let's just start off with the Texans. What the heck are they doing,
right?
Brady? Because you're exactly right. And when all of these reports start leaking about how unhappy he is, the first thing they should do is they say he's on vacation. Well, fly down to vacation wherever he mm-hmm. is and make do whatever you need to. And then there's reports coming out this weekend that within the Texans organization, there has been talks about trading him and potentially things like that. If you don't want to trade him, what you do if you're Bob McNair or Easterby or Nick Caserio, the new general manager, is you come out immediately and say that is not the case. He's our quarterback. So the point that they, the fact that they let it get to this point, I really think that he could be playing for another team next year. And now when we talk about the Broncos, where that is, I think they're right outside the top tier of teams. And the top tier who I would put in there is the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. And it would make sense for the Texans to trade Deshaun to one of those teams because of what they could get back in return. And that would be a top quarterback this year, a top young quarterback. That's how I have to imagine they would want to replace Deshaun, is with a Zach Wilson through the draft, with a Justin Fields, with one of those guys in the draft. But Deshaun has a no-trade clause, so he can decide where he wants to go. And there's been a lot of ties with him in Miami. He really likes Brian Flores. He really likes the city of Miami. They're an up-and-coming team right now. So I probably put them as the leader. Jets probably number two, because they did totally turn things over within their organization. And New York is an appealing place to go, especially if Deshaun wants to build a brand. But outside of that, when you look at the Denver Broncos, they could be a very appealing team for a quarterback that wants to be surrounded by weapons. And what do the Broncos have? They have weapons, young weapons, on the offensive side of the ball. So if Deshaun wants to do it, to have a dynamic, explosive offense and have the opportunity for that, well, then Denver's right up there. And that's why I put the Broncos kind of in that third, fourth team, potentially, that second tier. Now, it may not be as sexy for the Houston Texans, but Deshaun Watson can say with that no trade clause, I want to go to Denver. He can force his way into anywhere he wants to go. So from a football standpoint, Denver makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, and they, you know, the offensive line. I mean, the fact that this offensive line's getting better and better, I mean, that's got to be something that quarterbacks pay attention to, you know, for the simple fact that they won't get injured as much if they can get a good offensive line. So, boy, I guess we can dream for a while. Okay, what would it take, though? I mean, realistically, Zach, when you're looking at the Broncos and what they could offer, I mean, we're talking draft picks. What are we talking here, and how rich of a deal would that have to be for the Broncos to be able to get Watson?
I have to imagine if it comes down to Deshaun Watson saying, I'm willing to play anywhere but Houston, and so he gives every single team the opportunity to get him, the stakes would be so, I mean, what you'd have to get up would be incredible. And Brady, I get so many people offering me, you know, would this work? And what I say to people is, does it make you uncomfortable, the trade offer? Because that's what it would have to be. You know, some people are saying, okay, I'll give you a first and a second and Tim Patrick. Will that do it? I'm like, no, any team would do that. So that's not enough.
Right.
So I think you start with three first-round picks, couple of second-round picks, and then you're also talking a Bradley Chubb, a Cortland Sutton type. And that's if it's, you know, on the free market and every team has an opportunity. Because then you're talking about potentially five first-round picks there, because Bradley Chubb is worth a first-round pick, Cortland Sutton's worth a first-round pick, if not more. I think that would be competitive. That would open the door. And then also throw Drew Lock in there as well for them to have a quarterback as well. That's I think, what we're talking. Now, what could help bring that price tag down is if Deshaun Watson says, I'm only playing for the Broncos. That brings that price tag down a ton on what you'd have to give up. Or if it comes down to a couple of teams and the Broncos are one of them that he's interested in, well, maybe it's three first-round picks and a second-round pick that'll get it done. But I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, two firsts and a second. I don't think that would get it done, because what we're talking about is potentially something we've never seen before. A true top five, top 10 quarterback who's only 25 years old. To me, I'd probably do three first-round picks and name a player or two that you want to do that.
You know, at first, Zach, people were talking about the three first-round picks. I thought, oh, no way. I'm kind of with you, man. I think I would go that rich, because, I mean, I like Bradley Chubb. I like Cortland Sutton. Okay, well, Cortland Sutton, you can work out a deal with Tim Patrick. You got two young up-and-comers. And then, you know, Bradley Chubb's been good, but I think I'd rather take a star quarterback that could put you in the mix right off the bat. So I'm with you, man. Let's get this deal done. Let's make it happen.
Oh, man. And then we're not talking about, are the Broncos flirting with .500 next year? We're talking about how dynamic this offense is going to be. How close to the Chiefs are they going to be? Do the Broncos finish second in the division or third with the Chargers? And just are they 10-5? Are they 11 or 10-6, 11-5? And, you know, can they split with the Chiefs? I mean, that's what the conversation immediately goes to. And that's why I think three first-round picks, although it seems crazy, you're likely to miss on one or two of those guys in the draft anyway. So, really, what are you giving up, a top 10 pick this year? That would be a bummer not to have. But, you know, it would be awesome to not think about the next 10 years as a quarterback.
Yeah, no question about it, Zach. My man, up against the break, always appreciate you. And, hey, we'll see what happens next week. Maybe we'll learn more about this Von Miller situation.
Absolutely, and maybe more some Deshaun Watson. That'd be fun.
I love it, man. Let's do it. Zach, we appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to my game of the week. It's an earlier game in the week. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Colfax excited for tomorrow night. That's going to be our game of the week. I've been looking. Oh my goodness! Wow! Yeah. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. In fact, this entire series, these next two games coming up for Colorado State, going up against the Aggies, Utah State. Man, this is it. You know, I asked the question, is this Rams team going to be the best team ever for Colorado State? You guys laughed at me. Well, if they can get out of this four-game stretch and, I don't know, split 3-1, you got to start thinking that's a reality. So they play Utah State tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, and then they play on Thursday night, 9 o'clock, it's a late one, on FS1, but national TV. For Colorado State, this is an opportunity, Rams fans, and they're both of those games, because it's a series, it's my game of the week. I cannot wait for this one tomorrow night. Second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.